from St. Louis Public Radio. This is the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air. I'm Jason Rosenbaum. St. Louis County Executive Sam Page has officially entered politically treacherous territory. He's leading Missouri's largest county at a time of downward population growth and an uncertain budgetary future. And for the first time since he took office in 2019, Page is facing a county council with enough antagonists to override his veto. And critics like St. Louis County Council Chairwoman Rita Days are planning to exert the council's power, particularly with a charter amendment that could allow council members to fire department directors and the county councilor.
The county executive often says publicly that he wants to work together to get things done. Yet behind closed doors, his actions tell a different story. I remain ready and willing to work earnestly with Dr. Page, but that collaboration must be a two-way street.
Earlier this week, I sat down with Page in his Clayton office. In addition to talking about his political future and his relationship with the county council, I asked him what his main priorities were before he's up for election again in 2026.
Well, we're working on our 2050 comprehensive plan, which is really a big project. It's the first time that we've had a comprehensive planning project in St. Louis County in 40 years. A lot of neighborhood engagement, a lot of community engagement, and we'll have some recommendations soon. The airport is a big deal in St. Louis County for the region. The airport is a big deal. And in addition to that process that's moving forward and being driven by the city, we're also going to be initiating a comprehensive land use plan around the airport to make sure that those municipalities are able to capitalize on the new development and make maximum use of their territory, their jurisdictions.
Because the city owns the airport, what exactly is the role of the county in the actual overhaul of the airport?
Well, the county has commissioners appointed that will participate in the conversation. The architecture and the construction is going to be driven by the city because it's a city asset. But we'll be in the conversation, as importantly, we'll be discussing with the municipalities that touch the airport and that are in the near area about land use and about the best way to optimize their land as a new airport comes online.
I asked about like what your major plans are, because from the outside looking in, you could make an argument that the county may be kind of in a muddled stagnation in terms of population, in terms of big initiatives, in terms of revenue. What would you say to that?
We've made a massive investment in public safety, unprecedented. Three new police stations, the third one coming online here this year. We're working cooperatively with the state of Missouri and our neighboring jurisdictions to create and build a multi-jurisdictional police training center. Law enforcement and public safety is an area of great agreement. We're working cooperatively with the city of St. Louis there. There's always things to work on. Job growth, economic development are important to us. That's why we're doing a land planning study around the airport. Our economic development partnership is always busy working with our current businesses and large employers to grow and trying to attract new employers to the region.
We'll talk more about public safety later in the conversation, but one of the barriers, as you've mentioned before, is money. Right. Both you and your predecessors have warned that the amount of money that the county has in reserves is running low for critical governmental services. For context, how many more years can the county dip into some of the reserves before they reach zero?
Well, we won't reach zero, but we'll reach an uncomfortable point. And we've probably got 2 or 3 years before it starts to get uncomfortable. Our reserves are built up with ARPA funds and that were appropriated to lost revenue We have the NFL settlement funds in our reserve. So we have enough for 2 or 3 years, but it's going to get uncomfortable after that. I hope we can have a conversation with the community and the voters about a use tax, which I think would be a fair tax that most other jurisdictions have already approved. We need to make sure that there's a good working coalition in the community to get that passed, and we've been talking with some of our partners about that.
Can you explain what a use tax is and how it would be applied?
Well, it's essentially a sales tax on online purchases, from out of state. It levels the playing field between our local brick and mortar retailers and their online competition. And it's something that we've talked about for years, at least since I've been in the legislature. The state passed enabling legislation a few years ago to allow local jurisdictions to pursue this. And over the past few years, some of them have begun to adopt this legislation.
Do you know how much money a use tax would bring in to the county compared to not having one?
Well, we have estimates. We think it's $50 or $60 million a year, but it's enough to get us pretty close to closing our budget gap.
I ask this because other solutions to deal with the budget have run into barriers. Obviously, the marijuana tax situation, I think, is ensnared in court right now. Anytime you bring up property taxes, people get very cranky about it. And the use tax was put on the ballot in 2022 and it failed. So what do you make of the potential reality that any of these revenue solutions may not have overwhelming public support in order to be implemented?
Well, that's always a question whenever you talk about new revenue. And the voters in St. Louis County have to decide, and we have to help make our case, what services do you want? We've got a big investment in public safety in St. Louis County. It's half of our general fund budget, a little bit over half. And folks have come to expect and depend on St. Louis County Police Department and our public safety footprint. And I think when push comes to shove and we have these hard discussions, folks want to make sure that our county resources have the funds they need to be successful.
We ended up getting a lot of questions about some specific county services on social media. AJ Mole on X asks, why were Chesterfield streets in amazing condition after the snow ice storm while county maintained roads were treacherous? Now, I want to make it clear that St. Louis County wasn't the only governmental entity that faced criticism from people about the recent winter storm. Obviously, that happened in the city. I'm sure there were some municipalities both here and in St. Charles County that did better than others. But I guess my question is, why weren't regional planners and people that deal with the storm better prepared, given that there was kind of a 3 or 4 day lead time to this weather event?
Well, I can speak for St. Louis County. I know we opened our emergency operations center the day before the snow came and we're preparing for it. St. Louis County roads actually were pretty clear. Most of the time when we had a complaint about a St. Louis County road, we learned pretty quickly that it wasn't a St. Louis County road, it was someone else's jurisdiction. In fact, at most of my press events, the comments that I received in my press conference was, can you go and help clear some of the other roads that aren't yours, because yours are pretty clear. And the folks that dug into this learned pretty quickly that our arterial roads were cleaned pretty quickly, and we did a pretty good job with them. We cleared our subdivisions at a pretty good pace that was competitive with the municipalities who got into their subdivisions. Most of my feedback that I got were, can you go and help other people clear the roads that aren't yours?
Yeah, I saw some social media commentary, especially from South County, which the county is responsible, saying, no, the county didn't do a particularly good job. I imagine, though, that the footprint is large and maybe you did good in one area and didn't do well in another area. But I guess going back to what you just mentioned, it doesn't seem from your answer that there was particularly good coordination and cooperation with MoDOT, municipalities, other counties. Was that a problem, or am I reading into that incorrectly?
Well, I don't know that historically there's been intentional coordination of plow services. Everybody knows the roads that they're responsible for and they go and try and do them. A snowstorm is an unpredictable event. Some winters we go without much snow, and sometimes we have a record like we did recently and we wish we could have done better. But the special combination of a layer of sleet and ice prior to the snow made it difficult to get it up, and a lot of jurisdictions struggled. I think St. Louis County did pretty well in a relatively understaffed, short budget environment, short employees. Our guys worked, men and women worked 12-hour shifts, worked overtime to get the roads cleared, and I think they did a pretty good job considering a very difficult situation.
We got several questions related to the animal shelter, including this one from Speuter Your Cat STL on Instagram. That's one of my favorite parts of the show, is reading the usernames. Would love to know if Dr. Page is insisting the volunteer programs stay in place after APA leaves the county animal shelter. Volunteers donated 97,000 hours last year caring for animals in the shelter. Also, is there a long-term plan in place for constant overcrowding in that shelter? Plans to add a second shelter? One of the things I've learned from covering county government on and off for the last 11 or 12 years is there are two things that get the public very energized. One is parks, and two is the animal shelter. So I'd like you to field that question, because I'm sure there's a lot of interest in your answer.
Sure. Well, we know that St. Louis County is a community that cares very much about their animals, dogs and cats and their pets. And St. Louis County is an important partner. The APA has been a partner with us in our animal adoption program. We are reworking that relationship with the APA. We're proud of them as a partner. They'll still be a preferred adoption partner, but St. Louis County is going to run the Animal Care and Control Center starting in February. We will have a volunteer program. We're grateful for our volunteers, and we know they provide a big service for us, and we're just working on the details of what that program's going to look like.
I guess as somebody who doesn't have pets, what is the case for the county rather than like a outside organization running an animal shelter? I could certainly understand a situation like we just had where you were contracting with an agency and you provided funds, but given that we may be entering a perilous budgetary time, could it be argued that there are better, more important things to spend money on than that?
Well, it's we're going to fund and support Animal Care and Control, and we're going to support our animal adoption program, because that's an important core value for St. Louis County. It's more affordable to do this with county employees than it is to contract out for the services. And the APA has provided us an important service and helped us change some of our programming, and we think they've done a pretty good job. We can run it on a tighter budget ourselves, and that's what we'll do moving forward. The AP partnership will change a little bit. They'll still be a preferred adoption partner, but they won't be running the shelter.
I want to move on to the new St. Louis County Prosecutor, Melissa Price Smith. You were recently entangled in a very public disagreement with Governor Mike Parson over appointing the new St. Louis County Prosecutor. The courts ruled that Parson and not you could pick Wesley Bell's replacement. And while even some of your detractors felt it made sense for you to fight for your right to appoint a new prosecutor, given that Steve Ellman got to do it and the Jackson County executive did it many years ago, they also have told me that this whole situation could have been avoided if, like, hypothetically, you and Governor Parson worked out something behind the scenes. What do you kind of make of that observation?
I think it's important for St. Louis County to choose its elected leaders through a process that its voters select through their charter, and that's how it's been done for decades. It's important that that process is in place, and the Supreme Court changed decades of experience in our state. I think Melissa will be a good prosecutor. I've met with her, and we've talked about things that are in front, that services that they need, and support, and she'll have my support, and I think everybody in St. Louis County should support the new prosecutor in that office. It's very important for public safety that office works.
There was this kind of subplot to this. If you had, the courts had ruled in your favor, it was looking like the county council may have rejected Court Van Osteren, mm-hmm. and you may have had to make him acting until 2027. Maybe a court would have agreed that you were in the right there, but I've read the county charter, and the spirit of it seems to say that the county council should be able to approve and with advice and consent, similar to the U.S. Senate. What would you say to people who felt like you were doing an end around the county council?
Well, I would read the county charter differently, and most of our legal experts have a different opinion, but you know, people can read the law, read the charter, read the Missouri Constitution, and come up with different opinions, and that whole process was litigated all the way up to the Supreme Court. But we were comfortable in our legal position, and that's the path we would have chosen given the opportunity, but we have a prosecutor now, and I think it's important we get behind that person and support the office.
Prosecutor Price Smith recently told us that crime is too high in St. Louis County, citing the very big caseload assistant prosecutors have. What do you make of that?
Well, crime is too high. It's too high in our country, and it's too high in our community. It's much less than it was 2 years ago. It's going in the right direction, but we still have work to do. And our focus on public safety is our number one priority in St. Louis County, and we'll be working together with the county prosecutor to address that. We've given record resources to public safety. We're implementing new programs, new partnerships, and we're going to keep doing all of that.
Do you think that there needs to be more formalized collaborations between St. Louis County Police Department and not only municipal police departments in St. Louis County, but I know that there's probably been some in St. Louis City as well, near the border with the city. Do there need to be deeper ties there?
Well, we do have a much better working relationship with St. Louis City Police Department than we did before I became county executive. The Teneo report was important in helping us identify areas of potential cooperation and collaboration, and some of that still continues. We're working with our municipal partners. We're working to get our municipal partners using some of our tools that we use. Our case reporting system is probably the best example. We would like for all of our law enforcement agencies to be able to search the same database when they're dealing with people who are suspects, or they're trying to identify the patterns of crime in our community. But there's lots of opportunities for cooperation. We have 54 police jurisdictions in St. Louis County. And I think cooperation is an important part of what we do. We're involved in a lot of federal multi-jurisdictional task forces. The St. Louis County Police Department provides most of the legwork in those task forces, and I think that's an important part of what we do.
We need to take a quick break. When we return, we'll have more of my conversation with St. Louis County Executive Sam Page. This is the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air.
Welcome back to the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air. I'm Jason Rosenbaum. We now return to my conversation with St. Louis County Executive Sam Page. We recorded this interview earlier this week at his office in Clayton.
I'm going to touch on the third rail of St. Louis regional politics, and that's mergers and consolidation. Do you think that it would be better for crime-fighting efforts in the region if St. Louis City's Police Department and St. Louis County's Police Department merged into one police department?
Well, my responsibility is St. Louis County. It's hard for me to advocate for mergers and acquisitions. I'm not really interested in invading or taking someone else's authority or jurisdiction. I'm interested in partnerships. I'm interested in people who will work with us voluntarily. That's my message to our municipal police departments, and that's been my track record with the City of St. Louis.
The only reason I ask that, beyond my own, perverse interest in mergers and acquisitions, is if you had a larger, police department that had a larger geographic tax base, maybe you could be more efficient in, how you pay police officers or where you put them in high crime areas. But I would imagine that, you probably would have to actually ask the actual police departments and the people that work there if they're interested in doing that. And I think the answer would probably be met with a lot of resistance. I feel like I'm answering my own question here, but could you kind of address sort of the pluses and minuses of that idea?
Well, I think anytime you talk about mergers and acquisitions and a vision of how you could run someone else's organization more efficiently than they do, you need to step back and make sure you're having a conversation with all the stakeholders, the people who receive those services, the people who are providing those services, the people who are paying for those services. You need to have all of the stakeholders aligned before you pursue any sort of acquisition.
So let's talk about the quote-unquote fun part of your job, dealing with the St. Louis County Council. You've reached a point where you only have one member who I would consider friendly or an ally to you, Councilwoman Lisa Clancy. The rest are either openly hostile to you or at best skeptical. I would say there's probably enough critical mass to override some of your vetoes now, which wasn't the case in 2024. How do you plan to navigate this?
Well, we're going to focus on the areas of agreement. We'll have vibrant conversations and communications when we disagree. And in areas of agreement, we'll work together to make things better in St. Louis County. That's what we did last night. We passed legislation to allow for outside counsel to put together this multi-jurisdictional police training center, which is a very big idea and it's very important to the region. And I think you'll see us work together on areas of agreement, and you'll see us have difficult conversations when we don't agree.
I think there's a broader question of how you got here that I want you to respond to. I've heard from several current and former council members that they feel that your communication with them has been lacking. And sure, I could read you a quote from one of your antagonists like Dennis Hancock or Mark Harder or Rita Days, but I'm actually going to read you something from Kelly Dunaway, who called you a mentor in past interviews. She said to me last year, quote, "I share similar frustrations with the county executive from time to time, and I consider him a friend, and he leaves me out of the loop. And sometimes I find out about things that affect my district in the paper or when a reporter calls me, and I'm like, I couldn't even get a heads up. I get it, but this is a bridge too far for me." Why does this keep happening?
Well, I think it's difficult to tell our council members everything that's always going on, and it's certainly frustrating for them to hear something in the news. We do the best we can to keep them informed. I would love to be able to have more frequent meetings and more frequent conversations, but I think the way this has evolved is it's difficult to get folks to agree to sit down and talk. I think we're in a little better place now, but we'll keep pushing forward on areas of agreement. I think that this is all driven by a very difficult point in history where budgets are tight and folks have expectations for things that they want to see happen, things that they want to do. Some of those are new programs, but we have to focus first on providing the core services in St. Louis County that people have come to expect, and difficult conversations around the budget really create a lot of frustration.
And, you know, I'm not naive to this. I know that sometimes council members take shots at you for political purposes, sure. But I'd like to ask you about your culpability in this. There's probably been instances where you have supported people that lost elections and the person that won don't trust you. Gretchen Bangert is probably a good example of that. Is this kind of a breakdown that has like origins, not just with a council that wants to exert its own authority, but maybe your wrong or seemingly ham-fisted political choices?
Well, you can use whatever narrative you want to describe winners and losers of elections and people who support people who win and lose. That's the system that we have. Some of my strongest political relationships are people that I wasn't for in an election at one point or weren't for me. I think you keep talking to people who you weren't with at one point in time. These relationships realign every 2 years with every political cycle. These aren't permanent. You have to have conversations, and you have to agree to work together when you agree, and you see where your relationships go. There are no permanent enemies in the political process.
There's no permanent enemies, no permanent allies, only permanent interests. Which was popularized by former Congressman Bill Clay, but I don't think he came up with that. That was, I think, something from antiquity. Yeah. Earlier this week, the council passed a measure that could make it easier for them to fire department heads and the county council. You're planning to veto it. Why?
Well, I don't think it's a good idea. I don't think it's fair for our department heads to feel threatened if they don't agree with a request or a direction from a council member. It's important in a charter form of government that our department heads know the lines of authority. Our council members are in a position to ask for help with things and have priorities, and we work through all of those, but they can't give direction to our department heads. I'm not familiar with any situation where they didn't get information that they needed in a relatively timely fashion. Sometimes we can't get it done the same day. The only conflict that I'm really aware of that's frustrated them is a high-profile problem with the nepotism case that was reported by our county councilor, and I know that that frustrated them, and that whole process frustrated
them. And just for our listeners, the nepotism case you're referring to is the still ongoing legal fight about whether Councilman Dennis Hancock should be ousted from office for hiring his stepdaughter. There is enough support, though, to override your veto for this, and assuming it makes the ballot in April, if it passes, is that a repudiation of your leadership, or is it just people deciding that it's a good idea, basically?
Well, it's a very clear effort to gain authority over department heads, and that is going to be difficult for our department heads who have to make tough decisions. I would hate to see our county councilor put in a decision and a position of being fired by a council when she reported wrongdoing. I think that's a bad dynamic.
Another idea that's been floated that is probably not going to be on the ballot this time, but maybe in the future, is having a county manager take over day-to-day functions of overseeing county government. Now, you've served on the city council in a city with a city manager. You were Creve Coeur city councilman many, many years ago. And, you know, from the outside looking in, that city seems to be functioning fine. So why not implement that system in St. Louis County?
Well, St. Louis County is a much bigger animal than a municipality. It's an interesting question. St. Louis County is essentially a small state.
Yeah.
And it's better if the voters get to elect the chief executive, get to remove the chief executive, get to put someone there who aligns with their philosophy and can produce in the way they would want them to produce. Creve Coeur also has a very interesting provision in their charter, and it's a non-interference clause, and it prevents their council members from giving direction to department heads. The spectrum of council members' relationship with department heads is all over the place in municipal government, from non-interference to removal. But I believe in our charter form of government, we're essentially running a small state, and our department heads need to be protected from retribution.
To play devil's advocate, wouldn't having a county manager relieve you from the day-to-day minutiae of managing county government and allow you to focus more on sort of big-ticket policy ideas?
Well, it would remove a lot of authority from the county executive, and it would essentially mean that the voters don't pick the chief executive anymore, the council does. It's a very different form of government. And, it's not a good way to run a big operation like St. Louis County, the largest jurisdiction in the state.
Do you still like doing this job?
This really is a very rewarding job. I think if you look at government in general, St. Louis County, state government, federal government, we're watching what's happening in Washington this week, there's a lot of conflict in the air. There's a lot of frustrations, but you have to look past that and focus on your goals and get your work done.
Have you made any decisions about whether you will run for another full term in 2026?
I'm planning on running again in 2026. I'll make a formal announcement later this year, as we usually do in the normal election cycle. But I've been reelected twice to St. Louis County, I still enjoy a pretty significant support in the community. I stay connected to the voters, and not everyone likes the decision that I make every day, or any chief executive makes every day. I think you have to work through those and stay focused on the big picture.
That was St. Louis County Executive Sam Page, who was appointed to his post in 2019. He won election to a partial term in 2020 and a full four-year term in 2022.
This episode was produced, recorded, and edited by Jason Rosenbaum.
Podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes?
This episode was produced, recorded, and edited by.
Suggest us to a friend you think might.
This episode was produced, recorded, and edited by Jason Rosenbaum.
Podcast on the App Store.
This episode was produced, recorded, and edited by Jason Rosenbaum with production assistance by Maya Norfolk.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.